From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when a young boy experienced a tragedy. 11-year-old Jermaine Myers grew up with 9 siblings in the city of Rochester. His father owned a restaurant called Rosie's on North Street. One day, while closing up shop, an individual robbed the restaurant and shot and killed Jermaine's father. It was an experience that Jermaine said changed his life. Growing up without a father or a strong male figure was a challenge for Jermaine Myers, one he didn't want other young black men to experience. He also knew that, like him, many black men were walking around the city feeling invisible. He felt they should feel loved, appreciated, recognized for their contributions to the community. And that's why in 2017, he helped launch the Black Men Achieve Awards. The program honors dozens of black men in Rochester for their contributions to the community. Award categories range from social work, social justice, philanthropy, public service, and more. More than 600 people attended the sold-out inaugural awards ceremony, and organizers of this year's gala hope their event on Saturday will be just as successful. This hour, we're joined by the organizers of the Black Men Achieve Awards to preview the event and discuss how this program is trying to make a difference. We'll also talk about how the program seeks to change misconceptions and break down stereotypes of African-American men who are often overlooked for their contributions in our community. So let's welcome our guests, and I told you a little bit of his story, and we'll welcome two of the Myers, Jermaine and Jamar. Thank you both for being here. It's great to have you both. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Evan, for having us.
Also with us is Donald Starver, talent producer for the BMA Awards. Donald, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Ty Kelly is director of work scholarship at Wegmans, inductee in the Black Men Achieve Hall of Fame, and nominee for Distinguished Executive of the Year. Ty, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I want to start with Jermaine and Jamar, and just a little bit more about, you know, sort of your own kind of history here, because a couple of years ago when you wanted to launch this, you're thinking about your own life growing up. You're thinking about other African-American men who may not have had, you know, a dad to begin with, and the challenge that was. I want to try to ask this as sensitively but as directly as I can. Take me through what it meant losing your dad, and what it meant for you growing up with a lot of siblings, with a lot of challenges, and when that happened at the age of, for you, Jermaine, 11, what that did for you, what that did to you.
Well, in most households, the man is always the head of the household. And for us in particular, because we had a huge family, you know, we had 9 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Many of them were foster brothers and sisters because my mother and father believed in the foster care program and adopted kids from the program who, you know, had difficult lives themselves. So losing my father, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, I'll never forget being woken up out of my sleep by my aunt, you know, shaking us violently to wake up, to get dressed. We needed to rush to Rochester General Hospital, where we seen all of our family members there. And then the doctor walked in the room and said that my father was dead. So hearing that, you know, it really didn't register. Because I thought it was a dream. You know, at 11 years old, I thought it was a dream. You know, I'm in my Spider-Man underwear, you know, sleeping in the bed. I got the crust in my eyes, and I'm just being woken up in the middle of the night. So it was all a dream until the next morning when, you know, we fully woke up and we realized that we did just lose our father, the head of our household.
My mother was crying nonstop.
Yep.
You know,
how old were you, Jamar?
We're twins.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
We don't tell folks, but we're twins.
What do you, was it the same kind of memory for you?
The exact same conversation.
I think we were in bunk beds, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Same room. I always slept on top, he slept at the bottom. So, but it, just the same conversation, just we remember it to this day. There are certain imagery and certain lessons and just certain smells and just things that are like triggers that just, they don't go away. I mean, they don't go away. And so experiencing that at 11, you know, that forced us to look for a father figure. And unfortunately, we looked for a father figure in the wrong areas. And we began to join gangs. And we began to act out what we didn't think we thought was funny. Behaviors that were not right. They were wrong. These were wrong behaviors. But we did it because when it's all said and done, we wanted attention. We wanted to hear somebody talk to us. We wanted that father figure, and we didn't have that no more.
What What kind of do you remember about looking at, for example, gangs to kind of fill that void? Did you have any sense at that time that this is not what I should be doing? Were you desperate, or did you were you sort of numb after losing? Like, what are some of the things that went through your mind? I'll start with Jamar there.
For me, and I think what Rochester and people have to understand is a gang's recruitment process is just as strong as the U.S. military, right? They're going to tell you, just like you see the commercials for the U.S. military on, we're going to offer you this, and it's a family, it's a brotherhood, you're an achiever. That's the same message that these folks have, right? And that's what we believed at that time frame. It was a family setting. It was a bunch of guys that wanted to hang out with us. We had somebody who talked to us like a father figure. Unfortunately, now we know, or, you know, it took some time to understand that, you know, the things that he wanted wasn't right. But at that moment, he was speaking to us. He was speaking to our hearts. And I think a lot of folks have to understand that. Like, kids just don't go join gangs because, oh, I'm joining a gang. There's somebody that's recruiting them. And there's somebody that's speaking to a moment in their life, a tragedy in their life, something that's making them resonate that they want to join us.
You want to add to that, Jermaine?
More importantly, like Jamar said, it's looking for someone to acknowledge you. My father was, I don't want to say, people say great man, but my father was an interesting individual, and we really didn't get to spend as much time with him as we liked because he was a working person. You know, he owned multiple businesses. At the same time, he worked for Xerox for 30 years. So we really didn't have uncles in our lives, although I had uncles in my lives. They weren't in our life. So it was really just gravitating towards people who, hey, Jermaine, how you doing today, brother? How you doing? You know, we really didn't need money, but somebody would say, hey, man, here's a dollar to go to the store and get a bag of chips. You know, you at 11, you're like, oh, I'm gonna give me some barbecue chips. You know, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, some juicy juice, whatever. You know, that's what attracts kids. And that's what it was.
And now here you are with this awards program that helps in so many ways change some of the public perception, break down the stereotypes. Before we get there, how did you kind of get away from that lifestyle?
For me, it was, we were both smart. You know, it used to drive my mother crazy that we were both smart. We both had straight A's in school,
crazy.
You know, all the way up. And we had like the city school district suspension record. And every night we used to come home and she'd be sitting there crying because she really didn't know what to do. Like, do I beat them? But I can't because they pass on with straight A's, you know. And I really didn't realize it until maybe 6 years ago when, you know, I cried just thinking of that, you know, the emotion that I put my mother through. But to answer your question, it was two people who came in my life when I was in 7th and 8th grade who told me that you have great leadership potential, but you're using it wrong. You know, let's direct your leadership potential, the qualities that you have, and let's steer it to something positive. And that's what they did. They started getting us involved in different programs.
Teen court.
I did engineering. I did science programs. I did math programs. They start taking us on field trips to different places. Things to really, I mean, you had no reason to be out there in the streets because you was always busy.
They showed us that the world was so much bigger than our zip code. The only thing we could imagine was 14621. We didn't realize there was a Pittsford. There's Greece. We didn't see that because, unfortunately, our father passed away at a young age. For me, there was a program that I was placed in called Work Scholarship, Hillside Work Scholarship. And I was given a youth advocate who followed me around everywhere. And at first, it was like, oh, man, this guy's chasing me. But you begin to realize that my youth advocate at the time, he was very genuinely interested in making sure that I succeeded. I remember when our mother needed to go to the grocery store. She was sick and we didn't have a vehicle. You know, he would take her grocery shopping. I mean, he would check on us. He would go get our report card. And if there was an issue, as we said, we were suspended from school multiple times. he would be that person that would try to understand the situation and would be that advocate and help my mother understand, you know, this is what's going on. Maybe let's approach it this way. And then I got a job, right? And I got a job at a couple of places, really, because we had to work.
That's what my dad told us. Work, work, study, study.
You know, we had to really survive. We had to help pay rent. We had to help pay all these bills. And mind you, we're young. Kids shouldn't be having these responsibilities, but they do. And I got a job, and I ended up meeting some wonderful people. And I'm very honored that one of those folks is in this room right now. So,
well, for me, I'm sorry, it was Mr. Morita, my sixth grade teacher, and then Bert Alexander, who got me involved in the RIT pre-freshman engineering program, and then eighth grade, Millich Griffin for the prison program. So I remember
the
those.
The prison program?
Prison program. Program interesting students in science and math and engineering. Those three individuals helped shape my life.
Well, now I wonder how much you think what your father would think of the Black Men Achieve Awards. I mean, have you thought about that? Have you had a conversation about that? What Dad would have thought about that?
No, not really per se. We know that when our father was alive, our father was about standards and he was about excellence. And I remember, you know, we were young. We didn't want to go to church. Our dad was like, you got to go to church, right? And my brother mentioned my father was all about work. He was about work, work, study, study. And so he set that standard for us. And so when we think about the Black Men Achieve Awards, we think about excellence and having those standards.
So, all right, let's talk about what the awards are, because now we're on to the second annual. You had, what, 600 people come out or something like that last year?
Yes.
And you have the awards coming up here. We're going to talk to all of our guests about their role with this, but I'm going to ask Jermaine and Jamar to tell you a little bit about what the Rochester Black Men Achieve Awards, how it happens, you know, how you come up with the list, the different categories, and what your goals are here. So Jamar, you want to start? Go ahead.
Thank you. My brother and I, we have this twin thing. And so we try to employ that every moment. But it came about, first of all, that we want to recognize the folks in our community who don't have a voice. We want to balance out the media's portrayal of African-American men in our community. When you turn on a TV, you know, the first news stories are always somebody getting shot or the person shooting them. It's not about this person won an award or this person was recognized or we have the smartest scientists or business leaders in Rochester. Like, that's not what we hear first. It's always the negative news. And so having this platform allows us to balance it out and allows the community to learn from these individuals. And not only learn, it can inspire folks to, and I want to do what they're doing. Or our members or the people who are being recognized who are in their senior years, it allows folks to say, I want to take over what this person is doing, sort of like pass on the baton, right? So that's really the biggest premise for the program.
Okay, Jermaine?
And then basically, we put out a request for the community to nominate individuals for the various award categories. After a couple weeks, the award categories close, then we ask our men in the community to come and review the information about the nominees, and then they vote. So we just actually ended the final voting yesterday, and we have the winners that's going to be announced this Saturday.
This hour? Oh, this Saturday. Here, look, I was trying to get you to break a little news. and we'll tell you about it. People can still attend on Saturday, right?
Yes. Tickets are still available. They can just go right to our website, www.rockbma-awards.com, and purchase tickets. Come out. It's open for everybody.
It is open for everybody. Every creed, background. It's not a black event. We want to make sure folks understand that. We're educating folks on the positivity that these men in our community who happen to be men of color. But we welcome everybody to come.
RockBMA-awards.com. And we'll link to that in our various platforms.
So we are actually switching to a new website shortly. So the current website.
We'll get them there.
Thank you.
We'll make sure we get them there. If you want to check out the information for the awards, which are on Saturday, which you can still attend. And before we turn to our other guests, one more to kind of put a fine point on this. You know, when Jamar and Jermaine say that this is for the entire community. Yes, it's the Black Men Achieve Awards, but it's for the entire community. They hope the entire community is there to celebrate. Part of the goal is to change the stereotypes. And you're right. We've talked about it right here on this program. I used to work in local commercial television news. I think I was complicit in that for many years. The A block of a newscast. Well, it's a non-fatal stabbing. Shots fired in Rochester. It's the same sort of context-free reporting that looks like journalism, but it's really just kind of building, I think probably building stereotypes. But for both of you, if you're trying to tear down the stereotype, what are the stereotypes of Black men in Rochester that you want to get rid of? Jermaine?
You know, and to add on to what you're saying, yeah. You know, I think it's the repetitiveness of it.
Yeah.
So day after day, especially in a 24-hour news media cycle that happens, you know, when that's all you hear every hour on the hour, you know, it draws that perception that, geez, only Black men are out there robbing, shooting, killing, committing all these crimes in the city when they're really not. We have some great men that are graduating with masters, PhDs. We have some great doctors in our city. We have some great police officers, firefighters, health and wellness guys. We have some great educators, school leaders. And that's really what the awards is about, for people to come and learn that we have these individuals in our community. But I'll let Jamar pass the buck to him, and then I'm going to piggyback off of him.
Okay, go ahead, Jamar. How would you say, you know, this can break down some of the stereotypes that you see? What are the main stereotypes that bother you?
Well, one of them is that, you know, we're not the provider in our family. You know, we rely on social services, government assistance, right? But you're going to see men in the community who not only take care of themselves, but they take care of their families. These are folks who work just like everyone else. They go 9 to 5. Some of them work overnight. Some of them have 2 to 3 jobs, trying to make sure that they do what's right. Another one is, you know, we're either NFL players, football players, or rappers. You're going to see a room full of wonderful people like Mr. Ty Kelly, who is a leader at Wegmans. Wegmans, which is a top 100 company to work for. You're going to see Dr. Nelms, who is the superintendent, right? And so we want to definitely break those mindsets. Another stereotype is, you know, we all can't get in the room together and act right, right? And I'm speaking in like the Ebonics version that, you know, we're in the same room and something's going to go down. Last year, we had over 600 folks in the room who encouraged one another and they celebrated one another. And that's what's important for folks to see. You know, these are men in the community who are encouraging each other, young and old, in the same room together, cheering each other on.
My only stereotype is that, you know, Black and brown men do not deserve second chances. You know, many of us in our community, if it wasn't for having a second chance, sometimes even third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth chance, you know, at redemption, at life, at that situation, you know, we would not be here today. So I think we need to make sure that our men get the same opportunity to change, you know, to learn from their mistakes, to move on from their mistakes. And if they so happen to do it again, that's when we have to, you know, drop the hammer on them. But I think people in our community, especially our Black and brown men, do not get the opportunity to have redemption.
Saturday, 5 p.m., the Rochester Riverside Convention Center is the home for the second annual Rochester Black Men Achieve Awards and the annual Black Tie Gala. Donald Starver is the talent producer for the BMA Awards. What do you think it means to the community? And if this is a program that builds, and we're in your second year now, if this builds the way you want it to, what do you think the impact will be on the community?
Building on what Jermaine and Jamar said, I think the biggest impact that it's going to offset the stereotypes that are repeatedly shown of Black men. So that's the biggest takeaway, is that the Black male population of this city is diverse, they're positive, and there are a lot of people that you never hear about who are having tremendous impact on the community, tremendous impact. And that's the thing that I think impresses me most about what we're doing, is that some of the names that you're going to see recognized on Saturday are names that a lot of people in the audience are going to say, I've never heard of him before. And that's one of the important things, is not just highlighting the local celebrities. And every city has local celebrities. And so there are some people that are very well known, but there are just as many people that are going to be recognized who aren't well known. But yet, this is an opportunity to show that, hey, we know that you're not as well known, you're not famous like some of the other nominees, but we, as your brothers, we recognize what you're doing in the community. We see you. No one else may see you, but we see you and we salute you. And I think that's important, that even the little guys who are, you know, maybe they've got an athletic program where they're mentoring kids and coaching them or doing whatever they do, they know that they're appreciated as well, because you don't have to be the superintendent of a school or a doctor to have an impact in the community. Everybody's got to be, you know, all hands on deck. And as they say, it takes a community. And we want to recognize the entire community.
And as a talent producer, we got a lot of talent to work with. What are you most excited about for Saturday?
I am excited about everything. It's an incredibly diverse show. So we're going to have, obviously, people receiving awards and recognitions, but we're also going to have skits. We're going to have music. We're going to have dramatic readings. I mean, just a very diverse showing of the talent that's available in this community. And Rochester's a community that has so much talent. So this is just another opportunity to highlight some of the very talented people in this community, many of whom, just as with the people that are going to be receiving awards, there are some of the people that are going to perform that a lot of the people are going to say, I've never heard of them before. And so once again, this is a platform to recognize the many, many talented individuals in this community.
In a moment, we're going to listen to Ty Kelly's story, the director of work scholarship at Wegmans, an inductee in the Black Men Achieve Hall of Fame, and nominee for Distinguished Executive of the Year, because you heard Jermaine and Jamar talk about what it means to have people like Ty in the community, reaching out, making sure that they're there, especially when young men and boys need that leadership, need that help around them. So we'll get to that in just a second, but mentioned the kind of help that comes out of this program, scholarships and other work. So let's talk a little bit about this. Jermaine and Jamar, this the Black Men Achieve Awards helps fund what specifically?
Yep. So, you know, my team, they always laughs at me because if I had it my way and if I had a budget, you know, we're going to have pyrotechnics and fireworks in the convention center and smoke screens. And, you know, I try to go out to really entertain people. But basically, the gala serves as a fundraiser for us to raise money to provide grassroots mentoring opportunities in our community. Currently, we have three programs that are going on now that we partner with other community partners. We have our Mentors of Movies, in which we take men, young boys in the city. We partner up with the police department, other groups that want to partner with us, and we open it up to men in the community where we go watch a movie from the past that has a relevant message to it, and then we have a discussion afterwards with the kids. One of my best ones that we did was the movie Juice, and we had dozens of kids in the room who, one, never seen the movie before because, you know, they're in their 8 to 15-year-old range. But some of the stuff that the kids talked about, you know, one kid, you know, stressed that he was going to commit suicide because he was turning 17. And he was scared because his mother's boyfriend was telling her to kick him out the house once he turned 17, 18. And he had no understanding of, how do I pay a bill? Where do I go to rent somewhere to live? How do I just survive? You know, I don't have that skill set. I don't have the resources to do that. And he was scared out of his pants and was going to go commit suicide. So, you know, that's one of the programs that we put on. We try to do it monthly, but we want to do so much to really engage our young men that we're moving that to bi-monthly. We also do our Conversations with a Leader, where we bring community leaders to come talk about, we open it up the discussion. We talk about trying to build leaders in the community, but, you know, it's really a heart-to-heart with a community leader. So a young person or a person in the community who want to learn from somebody. Just recently, we did Chief Mark Simmons, Superintendent Sean Nelms, and
James Norbert.
And it was a great conversation that we had. And now we're looking forward to preparing for May, our next ones. We're also doing a men's health and wellness workshop some health screenings that's going to be happening during the summertime. And then my brother, he knows my
ultimate vision. One of the things I do want to
circle on. You guys finish each other's sentences, I noticed.
We ever since we were little. If I can add, I actually almost died last year in January. I suffered from a diabetic ketoacidosis.
Day of the show.
The day of the show. Wow. Kid you not. He actually had no idea that I was rushed to emergency.
And I'm blowing up his phone, yelling, and excuse me, cussing him out, like, where are you at? And he in the hospital, so.
Sorry. But the health thing is important. It's definitely important to me. Because as men, we go have blurry eyes and we experience these things. But I'm a man, so I'm going to go to work regardless. And I had that mentality. You know, I had blurry vision for 3 weeks and I thought something was stuck in my eye. You know, I had the flu symptom and I'm like, I never get sick, but I have the flu symptom. But, you know, I got to go to work. I got to pay, make sure my kids can go to school and, you know, I got to pay rent. And then because of all that, you know, I didn't pay attention to the telltale signs. I didn't go see a doctor like I should have go see a doctor. And it almost cost me my life. And so having that message with men about health is super important to us. But the big thing that my brother and I, we really, really want to do, and we hope the community can rally behind us, is a come to Jesus moment. And it's sort of in the religious aspect of it, but it's more important to get your life right. Here are the people in this room. Here are the resources that are available to help you get on the right track. And sometimes, you know, you try to get a bank loan, and the bank loan is debt consolidation, right? And that's what that moment is. We're going to consolidate all the issues that you're facing in your life, and we're going to tackle it at once. And so if you have, you know, I know the mayor talked about it before, the importance of having a driver's license. But because I was back and I couldn't pay my child support, you know, your driver's license gets suspended because of that. Well, we want to help you match you dollar to dollar to get you caught up on child support so that you can get your driver's license and go to work and not worry about driving illegally and getting pulled over by the police. Yeah. Right.
Which adds on to your misery.
Right. We want to know if you aldermen who have a legal issue, here's a room full of lawyers, here's a judge. Let's figure out how to help you get on the right track. And if you're wrong, you know, we have the police chief where you can surrender yourself, right? And it's you're surrounded by people who are going to pray for you, right? And people who are going to clap when you come in there to surrender yourself. If you got something going on, you miss a court date and stuff like that, here are people who's going to cheer you on. Like, yeah, congratulations, my brother. Thank you for getting your life right, right? That's what we really, really want to do, and we hope the community can rally around us.
So the Rochester Black Men Achieve Awards and the second annual is coming your way on Saturday, 5 o'clock at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center. Tickets are still on sale, and you can get them at rockbma-awards.com. rockbma-awards.com. After our only break of the hour, Ty Kelly's story. We're going to hear about his work, why they wanted to make sure he was here at this table today, and why they think he is such a worthy figure in this community for so many of us who've never heard his story to hear it. That's next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on the next Connections, we sit down with Jonathan Gruber, economist from MIT, who was one of the architects of the Affordable Care Act. We'll talk about health care in the United States and why he says Rochester is set to become one of America's growth engines. Then in our second hour, a reshaping Rochester conversation about the value of diversity in the architecture profession. Talk with you Wednesday on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. John writes to the program to say, this is such an uplifting and encouraging show that points out what a unique community we have. Thank you. So that's from John. John, you still got a chance to get tickets if you want to go to rockbma-awards.com. The event is on Saturday, 5 o'clock at the Riverside Convention Center. And I suspect all of our guests are, they are better dressed than the host of this program today, but I'm seeing black tie on the list, so I hope you've got your best duds for Saturday, John. Jermaine and Jamar, when's the first time you remember meeting Ty Kelly?
Oh, wow. 20 years now?
Pretty much.
Yeah, 20 years almost.
I think he was in diapers.
You want to start the story and tell us a little about Ty, because Ty is the director of work scholarship at Wegmans, an inductee in the Black Men Achieve Hall of Fame, and a nominee for the Distinguished Executive of the Year. Give me a little introduction on why Ty's at the table today and your relationship, and then we're going to talk about Ty's story.
Well, first of all of our nominees have impacted the lives of thousands of folks in the community of Rochester. And so when the moment came for this individual to be recognized, you know, out of all the names in the community, he was part of that discussion. And for me, it was something that, you know, when we talk with our brothers and the folks who are part of our team, you know, I advocated for that because I don't want to start crying, but he was the person that, you know, that really pulled me out of my moment of sorrow and got me on the right track. You talk about folks who are that angel, and he was my angel because at that moment of time, you know, we lost our father and I lost my mom. We lost our mom at a young age. And you can imagine all the emotions and the experiences that we went through. And then having somebody like him come and touch my shoulder and say, "Are you all right? Are you okay?" Like, I didn't have that. And not only are you okay, but, you know, let me first make sure your family's okay. And after your family's okay, let me make sure that you are okay with education. You know, and I was able to get him. First of all, my brother and we both can tell you, when we were in school, as smart as we were suspended so much where they never told us we didn't think we were going to go to high school. And when we went to high school, we didn't think we would go to college. We didn't even think we would graduate. But both my brother and I graduated. I was my senior class president, and my twin was his senior class president. And so when we have folks in our life who touch us and enable us to become like that and then have the opportunity to honor them, it's like I'm a Disney person, so it's magical to me. You know what I mean? And seeing him today and knowing that the community nominated him for an award is, I know personally the impact he's had on folks. And I mean, I met him at Wegmans. My day job is Wegmans. I've been at Wegmans for 18 years simply because of this one man. You know, he kept me on track. He allowed me to grow with the company, showed me this is what the difference between work ready is. You know, people want a job, but they don't want to work, right? And so he instilled in those skills in me as a young man. You want to be professional, this is what you need to do. You want to go to college, this is what you need to do. You want to graduate from college, this is what you need to do. And you still need to work, and you still need to have standards. And so, you know, he just means a lot to me.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you missed the story earlier, Jamar and Jermaine lost their father, a killing when they were 11 years old. So that what they remember is dad always saying, work, work, study, study. But their dad was gone by the time there was someone there to model that. So you start learning that from Ty. What do you remember about meeting him for the first time, Ty?
The story was impressive. I mean, rebounding, recovery, stick-to-itness, not giving up, and then channeling his smartness for good. And I'm just a believer, always have been, that when I see any young person trying to do well, I'm going to gravitate to them and help them do well. But before I get going,
yeah.
First of all, I want to thank you, brothers, for surprising me when you know I don't like to be surprised. And Evan, if you're involved in some conspiracy to help me, to make me start crying every time he starts crying, stop it, because I will do that. But from day one, Jamar and Jermaine, and they do have a brother named Joshua, they were young men that you could very easily get behind because you could see that they wanted to have some guidance and instruction and somebody who was going to hold them accountable. And I just believe that our young people, particularly our young men, they want to be held accountable. They want to be asked, how are you doing? They want somebody to say, let me see a report card, whether it's good or bad. You're going to take it in stride and give encouragement where it's needed and reward where it's earned. So that's basically what I do. And in listening to their story, I grew up in the city of Rochester all my life under many other conditions that they had to endure. But when I talk to young people today, I try to simmer it down to simply this. When we're born into this world, nobody asked us what color you wanted to be, how tall, how short, how thin, how thick. We had no input in that. Because if I had input in that, I'd have been tall, dark, and handsome. But 2 out of 3 isn't bad, so we're good with that. But you're born into this world, and what are you going to do? Here's the situation you come in. You could just roll over and let it, you just contribute the same old generational happenings, or you could take charge of your life. And for me, working hard in school and trying to get a job as early as possible, I looked at that as my escape from the situation I was born in. Even though both of my parents was there, like their dad, my dad worked 3 jobs every single day. He got out early on Wednesdays and Sundays. But, you know, I had to do those things because that's how I was going to escape my circumstances. And so I tried to always to help young people. I've been doing it all my life. And I was blessed to come to work for Wegmans. And the Wegmans family saw something in me because I began to manage my store, the Brooks Brooks Avenue store, the old Brooks Avenue store. And I started hiring kids from the community and, you know, encouraging them. Here's a job. I need people to work. You could work. And at the same time, by the way, we were closing our city stores, and there was an uproar about that. And I brought a couple ministers to my store and said, look at what we're doing, all these young black children. This is what it's all about. We're not alienating the city. We're investing in the city, but we're investing in the youth of our city. And so I was honored to be given the chance to be able to champion this program for Wegmans, where we provide guidance, mentoring, resources, help many minimize the barriers that will prohibit them from graduating from high school. And when they successfully graduate from high school, they get the scholarship as long as they enroll into a college. And we took it one step further. We said, oh, by the way, guys, do you realize that when you come to work for Wegmans, you have a job for the rest of your life? Many of the kids are so used to being in programs that programs start and then they stop. And they stopped going to the programs. And we saw that, and we said, wait a minute, you got to hear the rest of the story. You have a job for the rest of your life. He's got 20, Jamar has about 20 years mm-hmm. of service in our company and all the benefits that comes associated with that. And we have so many that the first graduate of our program, she's got 33 years in our program. So we're looking not only to bring in these young men and women into our company in high school, and we target the city school district, but we're also looking for them to help us as we grow into these new markets. And I'm proud to sit here and tell you that we have Rochester City School District young men and young women in leadership positions in every single market we serve. And so...
I was down in Maryland.
Yeah, anywhere he wanted to go, I had to facilitate it. So I spoiled him, just like I spoiled my own kids. But anyway, my kids are not spoiled. He's not spoiled. He lose track. But you made me lose track, man. But I'm in such a role.
Jamar, I got to jump in and ask you a quick question because a lot of people are probably, I don't know if you're allowed to tell us, people are wondering if it's their Wegmans where they'll see you.
You know, so one of the things that, you know, he's helped me through the years, and I've been at so many different Wegmans, I lost count, and the opportunities that the company gave. Now I have the opportunity to work on a program doing the same thing Mr. Kelly did for me, the same conversation he did for me. I'm having with kids right now, teaching them how to be a better employee, how to be a better man, a young woman. And so right now I'm working at a program called Future Ready on the Wegmans family behalf, where we do provide job training and employment skills for.
So you bounce around.
I do.
Okay. So, and Mr. Kelly, I'll just tell you, there was no conspiracy. No one's trying to make anybody cry here. But you know what? We always say in this program, we're not afraid to say I love you, and we think that it's important to be open to kind of grabbing onto those feelings. And I want to ask you a little bit about this, Ty, because you know you said that. Here's Jamar, you know, part of this family that lost, first of all, their dad when he was 11, mom when you were, 17? Yeah. You know, a lot of siblings, a lot of challenges. the influence of gangs, and you were there asking, are you okay? You were there asking, you know, how are you doing? Even just that is, there's this another stereotype that, well, you know, young men won't show emotion, or emotion makes you weak. I don't think it makes you weak. No. And I wonder how you feel about that.
Oh, they definitely know it doesn't make me weak. you guys probably see me tearing up over here listening to their story. So, no, I'm not ashamed to cry, because having had the success that I've had in my own career and being able to do it, helping others that came from the same background that I did, it doesn't get any better than that. And I wanted to say this too, to the guys, because they said something about having to be an athlete or a movie star or a rapper or whatever. I was asked one time long ago, what is your goal? What is your goal? And my goal was, you know, I enjoy working here, but one of the things I would love to do is make $100,000 a year by the time I was 45. Now, why did I say 100,000 by the time I was 45? Well, when I was 16, I read something about being financially secure, that if you want to be financially secure, try to earn twice your age. So by 45, if I was making $100,000, I could rest assured I'd have a pretty decent life. But the other reason why is that, I said this, I speak to a lot of young people, and I want them to know they can earn a six-digit salary without being a baseball player, movie star, or rapper. And that's what I set out to do. And I show these young men and women that whatever dreams they have, they can come true if you're willing to stick with it. And yes, we love for all of our young men and women to stick with us at Wegmans, but we're not afraid to let them explore and even help them get jobs other places. I mean, we had a bunch of our young men and women do a program with Chief Simonelli for a whole last year, where they did a deep dive into the police department because they expressed an interest of becoming police officers. And, you know, 14 of them went through it. Several of them took the exam. We got a couple of them getting ready to take the PT test next week or whenever. But we are concerned about developing people to be contributing members of the community. And that's what it's all about. Mm. And it's all about the young people when it comes to me. The recognition is great, but I wasn't looking for it.
Can I add something real
quick? Sure.
We talk about that emotion part.
Yeah.
You know, my brother and I, we look at each other and we tell each other, you know, I wish I can get yelled at by my dad. I can hear his voice, you know, yell at me for doing something silly. I wish I can hear my mom say, I love you, right? Like, I sometimes actually have to force myself to cry. So that emotional aspect of it, you know, I want to feel emotion, right? But it's kind of hard when your heart is torn or you've gone through hell, hellish situations and stuff like that. You know, I really... You know, when he told me, I love you, for me, it was like, I'm finally, somebody loves me for who I am. Because I didn't hear that.
And the other big thing is, these guys are big guys. Mm-hmm. And big black men aren't supposed to cry. And big black men, just the look of them, intimidate other people. We've got to get over that. These guys are some of the smartest, gentlest giants you can have in your community. And people are actually tremble just at their very presence. Matter of fact, sometimes we have to encourage them just to smile, just keep people from being afraid. And we've got to get over that.
But you know what? That's the fault of society there, Ty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fault of people who look like me. Yeah, that's something for everybody. But I love seeing the way these guys have this appreciation for Ty. It's so deep. And if you're just joining us, Ty Kelly, the Director of Work Scholarship at Wegmans, and a nominee for Distinguished Executive of the Year in the Rochester Black Men Achieve Award program that's coming your way on Saturday. It's been a remarkable hour, and I've got a caller on the line who wants to congratulate Ty. This is Michael in Brighton. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi. So Say, Ty, my name's Michael Harf. You may remember 20 years ago, my wife Susan was working for Hillside Works Scholarship Connection and Community Outreach.
Oh, yeah.
And all I heard about for 3 years from her is, Ty Kelly, what a wonderful man he is, what he's doing for the community, for all the kids in the schools, and for that program. And obviously this honor that you're receiving is so well-deserved. So I just wanted to congratulate you, and all I can say is that even though you and I have never met, through Susan, I certainly heard all about you and have a lot of admiration for you. So congratulations.
Thank you. And tell her I said hello, and does she still have all that curly black hair?
as she and I have aged, she's decided to make it a lot more blonde, but it's still curly.
All right. Tell her I said hello.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. And that's a good example. I mean, there's someone who heard Ty Kelly's name over the years, but if you heard Brothers Jermaine and Jamar Myers, the president and vice president of the Rochester Black Men Achieve Awards, mentioning earlier this hour, they want to introduce people who everyone is going to know their name. You know, Donald Starver telling us the same thing, that this is a program where the community will know some of these names, and some of the names you may know or you may have heard of, and this is a chance to really understand the impact. So in our last few minutes here, let me ask our guest, tell us a little bit more about maybe some of the categories and some of the kinds of names that, Donald, you want to tell us a little bit more about what's coming our way on Saturday?
Okay. We've got, once again, a variety of categories that recognize a lot of different things. One of the categories that I want to highlight, because it goes against the narrative that we hear so often, which is black men is involved with police. But one of the categories that we've got is the Distinguished Police Officer of the Year. And we've got some fine gentlemen, black police officers in this community, who break every stereotype, who are highly involved in the community. That's a category that I'm very proud of. And then we've got categories like Distinguished Brother of the Year for brothers who are involved in fraternities. We've got Distinguished School Leader of the Year. And the show is going to end with the two ultimate awards. The first one is the Future Brother of the Year, Future Man of the Year. That's given to a young man who, just like at the Academy Awards, you know, the ultimate awards are Movie of the Year and Actor of the Year. Well, the ultimate award is Man of the Year, and we're going to have a Man of the Year recognized this year. Last year's Man of the Year was Dr. Leonard Brock, who runs the RMAPI program. But we'll be having a Man of the Year. But we've got another award called Future Man of the Year that recognizes a young man who's active in the community that, just based on the things he's doing at a very young age, young men like Mr. Kelly has played a large role in impacting. We see what they're doing at a young age, and we think that this person projects to be a future man of the year. But right now, he's a young man. And so those are our two highest awards. And I think it's great that we get to recognize young men, that we can see that right now, you might only be 13 or 15 or 20 or whatever age, but you're doing great things, and we recognize you, and we forecast great things for you. We want to encourage them to keep doing what you're doing, and someday we see you as a future man of the year.
All right, so those are some of the categories. And who ultimately gets the final say in the winners?
The community.
It's voted on by the community. So that's the thing that I think is so incredible about the awards is this is not something where anybody's playing favorites. This is a recognition that the community comes together. It was a public vote, and the community decides these are the people that we think are most worthy of being honored for 2019.
I want to turn back to Ty as we get right down to our last 2 minutes or so. This program shines a light on the work that you've done, some of your colleagues have done, some of the great leaders in this community have done. And it's true, as the organizers of this program have said, you know, some of this is combating stereotypes. Some of this is dealing with a long history of racism in this country. There's a lot of deep things baked into this. Do you find yourself at this stage in your career, Ty, more of an optimist about opportunity? Are you still frustrated by barriers to opportunity? How do you view it?
I always view it this way, Evan. Just this show is a learning opportunity. And I've told this to Jamar a long time ago. I said, if white folks are going to learn about us, we have to teach them. And so you take moments of clumsiness where they might stub their toe. Instead of getting angry, you know, let's talk that out. Let me tell you why. I can handle it, but it could be deemed offensive to someone else. And this is why you shouldn't do it. And many times that works. The enlightenment works. So I think we need to be out there being crusaders, pulling back the curtain. I mean, when you see these gentlemen that I was very reluctant to be involved with this because I don't like recognition. But once I saw the crowd of black men together, I was so proud to be in that number because I knew I was not alone.
Amazing. I want to thank our guests for being here. And one more time, Jermaine, Jamar, Donald, you want to tell people how people can get online and get tickets if they want? We'll link to it on our platforms, but go ahead. Tickets are still available for Saturday.
Thank you all for Evan for having us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just want to thank all the listeners for hearing our story and learning more about the Rochester Black Men Achieve Awards. That information is available at www.rockbma-awards.com.
RockBMA-awards.com, Saturday, 5 o'clock at the Riverside Convention Center for the second annual. Packed last year, tickets still available. Jermaine and Jamar Myers, remarkable story. Thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for sharing the story with us this hour. Great having both of you.
Thank you.
Our thanks as well to Donald Starver, talent producer with BMA Awards. Thank you very much. Great having you.
Thank you for having me.
And Ty, I'm glad they convinced you to at least take a little recognition to tell your story. Thank you for being here this hour.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed the conversation with them this hour and with the wonderful people behind the glass of connections. Rob Braden, engineer, Frank Calandra, volunteer, and Bria Adams, East High School student. Thank you, Bria. Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.